Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello, I'm Tim. Welcome to this special episode of The Yellow Block. Just a friendly heads up, this is a very Kisby-heavy episode. Fair warning. If you do still wish to listen, then godspeed and good luck.
Hi, I'm Jason Neal, one of the co-owners of PW United. I must warn you that The Yellow Block podcast contains some strong language and adult themes. So be warned and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to a man flu filled Yellow Block, a Peterborough United podcast on the TalkSport Network. I am slowly dying and my name is also Tim. This evening I'm joined by Matthew Kisby.
Good evening, Tim.
I've also got Jared Farmer with us this evening.
Good evening. Sorry, I was rushing that because I was sucking an ice cube.
Why?
Sorry?
Sore throat.
Oh, you've got man flu too. Kisby, are you surviving or have you got the dreaded man flu?
No. I'm fit and healthy, which...
You don't really socialise a lot, do you? That's probably where that's coming from.
I don't like to go close to people at the best of times, so, yeah.
Me and Jared are men of the people, so, you know, we're there out mingling with the public.
You're going on strike, aren't you, soon, Tim?
Keeping the country going. Yeah, but, you know, let's not make this political. Or if you want to make this political, Kisby, can we talk about your Twitter antics over this last 7 days or so?
Good lead.
Yeah, you line me up quite nicely. You know, I was going to keep this one under the table, but I can't let this slide now. Please fill us in with your version of events, because all I really saw was that you threw your toys out the pram with a listener on Twitter.
Do you know what? I throw my toys out of my pram after about 3.5 seconds on any social media. I just gotta go ballistic at people. People say, you know, like something, not controversial, but the things that I don't agree with, and I just go mental. And the thing that I lost my shit about this time was someone was criticizing Jason Neal about he was going to one of the World Cups. He was getting on the flight or something. Can you just tweeted getting on the flight, going to one of the World Cups, as you were to one of the World Cup games. And people say, well, Posh are losing at the moment. You shouldn't be doing that. And I just think, for fuck's sake, you know, he's an owner. He's not even a fan as such, is he? Because he's an owner. He owns us. He would claim to be a fan as well. But so I think it was really, really hard, harsh and petty of people to say he shouldn't have been texting. But what happens if he was like, you know, his wife was giving birth to someone? Would he not be allowed to like say, congratulations, I've had a new baby, if there was like a game at the Posh or something? And I just think it's a bit pathetic. We know there's issues in the owner's camp. We know that. And perhaps the owner's now coming to the end of their sort of tenure of the Posh. We sort of know that a little bit. But I just think that was a little bit harsh. The man's entitled to do what he likes, really, you know, during the game. And I sort of just blew up like I always do on social media and start, you know, saying...
Went on a blocking spree.
I always do that because, you know...
So let us know about The Yellow Block. Have you been blocked by Matthew Kisby? I'm sure the list is probably getting quite long. Kisby, fun fact, has actually blocked more people than the Cambridge United admin. So that's quite interesting. Jared, Christmas decorations up?
They've been up a while now, Timothy. No, they are my son's paintings. Most of them are shit, but I can't get rid of them for obvious reasons.
Why?
Because you can't chuck away a four-year-old's paintings. He thinks he's Van Gogh, bless him. But
to be fair, anyway, they do look like a Van Gogh, don't they? He's impressionist. Where he was, you know, had cataracts or whatever he was, and everything was blurred, and they do look a bit like that.
Oh, that's harsh, Kisby. He's only four. I think they're brilliant. And they're also very, very similar to Jared's paintings, which he did at Messy Play. So that's...
Three of them are mine, in fact, yes.
Yeah, that one that's just a giant hand is yours from Messy Play. Anyway, I suppose we should talk posh as much as we don't really want to. Since we last recorded, we've played thrice and we've lost thrice. Yeah, I suppose we should talk about that. And that's coming up on the Yellow Block. Matthew Gisby, then, you talked about this in your little Twitter spat just there. It's a sinking ship, do we think, now?
Do you know what? I need 9.5 seconds to do something, and it's not the only thing I need 9.5 seconds, in fairness. But I've prepared a little jingle to sum up how I feel at the moment, so I'm going to play it to you.
Ah, smug mode. I can't hang around here saving your necks all day. I guess I'll go and make a start on that ironing.
Yeah, because I'm feeling quite smug, because despite being called out, as you so quaintly put it, I'm going to call out the callees, because I was right, 100%, wasn't I? When we were winning, I said we won't continue to win as soon as we come up against a decent side. And we sort of came up against a half-decent Exeter side that's probably sort of just below the playoff positions or high mid-table sort of team. And we played poorly against them, and we played poorly ever since. And we haven't got the points. We played poorly in the cups as well. And for the first time, I've always said that the most we can do is finish fourth. I've always said that all through the season. Part of me thinks we'll still sneak into the playoffs. Part of me thinks we're still good enough for that. And for the first time this season, I'm beginning to think that seventh or even eighth, probably no lower, is a realistic possibility. If we do sneak into the playoffs, we will not go up through the playoffs. No chance in hell. It's a bit like when Fergie got us into playoffs once, didn't he? We were a poor side. And was it Leighton Orient we lost to in the playoffs, first playoff? And I think we are very similar now. I think we are a team that is still an all right team. Against Barnsley, we were no worse than them. In fact, we were probably slightly edged the game and possibly deserved a draw. There was a poor goalkeeping error in it, which is why we lost. But wasn't much between the two teams. But that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. There's not much between us and the Barnsleys and Exeters of this world. That's the problem. And the biggest disappointment for me this season, because I was really looking forward to it, is we're not as competitive as I thought we'd be. I thought we would be a better side. I didn't think we'd be in the top three. And I said at the time, we'll finish fourth. But I thought we'd be competitive with the very best in this league. And we're not. We're no better than the teams around us and below us, I think. And that's the problem, isn't it? One thing I will say is, where are the superstars in this team? I don't think there are any superstars. There's no Boyds, there's no Ivan Tonys, there's no CMSs, none of these great players that we've had in the past. We've got good, solid players all the way through the team, I think. Maybe not so much in defence, but we haven't got any superstars. And I think that's the difference for this season. That a team like Barnsley that was similar to us last season but went through a lot more shit than we have since then and lost a lot more players, they're probably still as good as us. And I think that's a problem. There's no great players in this team, hence why we're not going to do very well. We're certainly not going to be in the Championship next season.
So you say you feel smug because you called this season. Imagine how smug you'd feel, Jared, if you called the ownership out while we were winning 2-3 seasons ago, I'm pretty sure it was. I got berated on Twitter for foreseeing this very same problem.
Calling the ownership out, what, in regards to what, one of them to sell up or?
Yeah, so I called this problem out years ago, many moons ago, and I got absolutely slated for it. But all the issues that I raised then are now coming to fruition. And that's not I told you so, because I don't want to see the club in this position. But what I could see there, which I got mocked for at the time, is that DMAC has reached his ceiling with us a long time ago. Randy, we never really know too much about, and for all intents and purposes, seems to be a bit AWOL just now. And then Jason, and this probably goes in line with what Kisby was saying, is, as much as he is a nice guy, he's not a footballing man. The whole Twitter thing in terms of putting pictures on flying off to Qatar when your team's losing at home to Barnsley and you're in dreadful form is the sign that he's not a football man. Whether that's the right time or the wrong time, you don't do that if you're a passionate football fan. And I think he just needs better advice on terms of how to come across to the fans. But the point stands that all of those issues that I foresaw coming, unfortunately, are now coming to fruition.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think it's all about timing. I mean, when you said that back then, you know, I completely opposed everything you said, didn't I? Fast forward a few years, I have finally reached a point where it's difficult because I like Darren McCartney a lot of time for him. I like Jason, and you know, I've met Randy a couple of times and I really like him too. I don't think it's working as a trio. I think that's clear now. Dara, I feel like he's served his time with Posh. Listen, if Dara was still here in 10 years, I'd be more than happy, but I feel like he almost deserves another challenge now. He's done all he can with Posh. He's got, you know, he's took us to the Championship. He's kept us there for, you know, a season or two. And he has done brilliant. He's given us the best times, or my best times as a Posh fan, without a shadow of a doubt. And Stuart and Jason have come in with good intentions. I think it's clear to see that there is issues between them two. I don't, all this nonsense of denying it, it's very clear there's a problem between them two, which obviously I believe they've got other business interests together. So that's obviously an issue that hopefully they get it sorted for our sake as well as theirs. But yeah, I want to look ahead now. And, you know, is our current ownership the ownership to take us forward in the next 10 years? No, is my honest answer. Like I say, I think Dara is wanting out. I can't speak for the man. I don't know him that well, but it does come across that way. I don't think he'd ever leave us in the shit. I don't think he would ever put us in any sort of trouble, this administration nonsense. It won't happen while he's at the club. I'm a big believer in that. You know, so we're not going to get much better, I don't think. I know that's a flawed argument because we don't know. But, you know, if you're wanting them to sell up because Man City's brother's going to throw in a bid, bollocks, not going to happen. So, yeah, I think it's be careful what you wish for. I'm not wishing for a new ownership. I just want to be looking forward now. And are those three the people who are going to be in charge in 10 years? I highly, highly doubt it.
There's a lot of rumours doing the round that we've hit a few financial issues over the last few months. There's not been a lot from the club in terms of to counteract that. There's not been a huge amount of reassurance. Do you think, Jared, they'll be the three owners come the summer? Do you think there's rumours about takeover bids and stuff like that as well. Do you think that's imminent and that's why we're not really hearing a lot?
Possible. You know, I know there is interest with other people to buy the club. I think Darren's admitted that himself, that there was a bid which got turned down. I'm sure there's other people who are interested in buying the club. But do I think they'll still be in the summer? Yes. It's not an easy thing selling an asset like that. And again, we have got people who are in charge of the club who do care about the club. I'll get slated for that, but I believe they all do. And it's all about getting the right person in charge. You've only got to look at football clubs up and down the country who are managed by absolute knobheads who just put their own pocket before anything else. Obviously, all businessmen do that, but you understand what I'm saying. So yeah, to answer your question and avoid doing a Kisby, yes, I do believe they will be the owners come the summer.
What about you, Kisby? Where do you stand on the ownership at the moment?
Right. I've always viewed the owners as businessmen first and foremost. And I think when Darren McCanthony came into the club, he had a lot of money. So he wanted a hobby, if you want to put it that way. And I think owning a football club suited him for the type of person he is. We can argue about the rights and wrongs about who he is as a person, but it suited him to be an owner of a football club. He had the money to do it. And over time, I think his financial worth may have gone down slightly. He's still probably slightly more than mine. But And then he saw it more as a way to make money. And it was still a quite a good business model because it gave us some success, or if you want to put in these words, a lot of success over time, and was still able to earn money at the club sort of thing. That's fine. That's just running a business as you should run a business. You should get money in if you're spending money sort of thing. So that was always very good. I think he took us as far as he could get us sort of thing with that business model, didn't he? He took us to be a good League One side, and there's nothing wrong with a team like Posh being a good League One team. He wasn't going to take us any further though, was he, because of the financial constraints. So we got some more owners in, and we all thought that was a good thing. We all thought they all had different capabilities. I don't think you can criticise Jason too much for not being a football man, because I don't think he really ever claimed to be, did he? I think Darren McCanthing would say he was the football guy, and Randy was more the sort of politician of the three, I always thought. But I think they're always businessmen, aren't they? And I think they came on board with ideas to make more money out of this club. And again, you can't knock them for that. Everyone wants to make more money. No one's a limitless pot of money. You've got to run it on sound business ideas, really, a club like us, or indeed any club. And I think their big goal was to open the new stadium, wasn't it? Get a new stadium, make money out of that by, you know, having all sorts of concerts and using it for a multi-purpose stadium, whatever you want to call it. And that seems to have died a death now. And I think that is the issue. I think that's the major issue. Forget about how good or bad we are on the pitch. We're not horrendous on the pitch at the moment, are we? We're not great, but we're not horrendous. I think it's the lack of progress on the stadium. They know that stadium is not going to be built for a long, long time, if ever. And I would argue probably never now. And I think they think, right, we're not going to make any money out of this club. And I think that was the issue. They've been here, the new owners have been here, what, 5 years? If you can't achieve anything in 5 years, you're not going to achieve it at all. You can't do it overnight, but you're not going to do it in 5 years, are you?
Do you not think that's a little harsh? I think they have achieved lots.
Oh, yes, they have achieved lots. Yes, off the pitch, they've achieved massive amounts, but on the pitch, they haven't progressed the team at all, have they? I don't think. And yes, they have done lots. The youth setup is certainly a lot better. The facilities are certainly better. So they have achieved stuff, and I've said that in previous podcasts, but what they're not going to do is shed loads of money out of us through having a new stadium. And I think that is the issue for them. And again, you can argue the rights and wrongs about that. I'm not here to argue the moral case either way, but I think that more than any other issue is why they're falling out at the moment. If everything's going well, you tend to get on with people. When things, there's a spanner in the works, issues come out, don't they, sort of thing. And I think that possibly, or probably, is the reason why they're having a bit of falling out. Randy's saying, well, we're not going to make any money out of this now, so where can we go? And I think maybe Jason genuinely believes in the club still and probably wants to continue with it. But I think that's why there's an issue between the owners at the moment. DMAC, as we know, he's been here 17 years, and it, certainly that's run its course, I feel. And possibly he thinks the same as Randy, and I think that's why there's issues. And I just can't see us to be honest with you, Tim. Right, I'm going to shut up in a minute, Tim, because I know you're laughing in the background. I will give you this, Tim, you were 100% right in what you said a couple of seasons ago. You were 100%.
In hindsight,
no, even at the time he was right. And the only reason I sort of didn't wholeheartedly agree with you is because I know that if we get rid of these owners, we could get some real shit ones in, and all of a sudden we're a League Two side again. That was the only reason. But you were 100% right, Tim. I will say that, and I never say that about anyone, really.
No, it's a fair take on it, because, like I say, I think we're giving Tim a little bit too much credit. I think we've had a bit of success under the... We are. I think, yeah, maybe what you said has come to fruition, but I think back then it was way too early. But, Tim, what are your thoughts now?
Oh, a load of bollocks. My thoughts are exactly the same as they were 2 years ago when I was bang on. And fucking all this bollocks about not giving me enough credit. I could see it was coming a mile off, and I laid out every reason as to why it was going to happen. I don't want it to happen, but it has, and it was always going to. This was always going to happen. You could see this coming from a mile off. The warning signs were there. The start of the Championship season, when we'd just beaten Hull away, it was our first away win in however long. It was around that time. You could just see this was coming. The summer had been really disappointing. Every transfer window since. D-Mac's trying to find an exit strategy. I do agree with what you were saying, Jared, in that I do genuinely think, well, I can't really speak for Randy, but I do genuinely think that Dara and Jason, and I'm sure Randy as well, do want the best for this club. I'm definitely not disputing that. And having, you know, spent a little bit of time with Dara as well, you can see the passion. He does genuinely care for this club. And any negativity I throw towards him is not aimed at his love for this club, because I think that is there. But he's not the right person to be in the position he's in anymore. And I don't think he has been for, if we're honest, probably about half a decade now. I would say sort of 5, 6, 7 years ago is when Dara should have left this club.
I said at the time, I said 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I'm surprised Dara's still here. I said that at the time. And I often agree with Jared, but I totally agree with what you're saying to him, really. I think you called it spot on. And I think deep down, I think we all knew that. I think deep down, it's just that we didn't want to admit to it. And I think you're right, Darren McCartney does care about this team and club because he's been our owner for 17 years. You can't own something for 17 years and not care about it, sort of thing. And I think he does. But I think he's also a businessman. And I think all three of them, prioritise is probably a strong word, but I think it's true that the business element of anything they do over everything else. So when the business case is no longer there, I think they lose interest in something. And I think that's what we're seeing at the moment. And I think it's clear to me that on the field, forget about all the off the field stuff, that on the field, we haven't progressed for 10 years, I would argue.
I'm not sure that's fair on Dara Kisby. I do think he cares beyond it being a business. I think he genuinely, he's a footballing man.
I just think he cares, yes, but no more than he cares about the business side of it. And I'm not criticising him for it. And I think all of them, we've been critical of all of them at times, and I think they've been man enough to accept the criticism. They've come on here and we've not necessarily always agreed with everything we've done. We've been quite outspoken about it, and I think they've been big enough to take that criticism. They may not agree with it, but that they were big enough to take it, I think. And I just think that they're all businessmen. That's all I'm saying, that there has to be a business case to continue to go, and I think perhaps there isn't so much with us at the moment.
I think you know, I've said what my piece on it. I don't agree to the extent you and Kisby are going on regarding the ownership. I think it's far too harsh. But yeah, I've said what I've said.
I don't think I've been harsh there. I'm saying that all three of them care about the club. Certainly the two that I know, they do care.
Yeah, but
about
to say we've not, you know, the 10-year comment, Kisby, I think is ludicrous. You've had brilliant times in the last 10 years, generated highest ever transfer fees. I know that's
Have we progressed as a football team on the pitch in the last 10 years? No, we haven't. You can't say we have. I'm not going to let you sit there.
No, but ownership. No, Kisby. Ownership. No, listen.
No.
Ownership is not.
Teams like Sunderland that have gone up into the championship.
52,000 people who go to see them. We haven't got 52,000.
You can't deny that, Jared. You cannot deny it. I'm not arguing about why.
Compare us to Sunderland Football Club, a proper football club with a proper fan base.
For fuck's sake. Stop putting words in my lap.
You said it yourself.
No, listen to it. Use your ears, Jared.
You're doing a U-turn, Kisby. That's very unlike you.
I'm saying other
teams. I never mentioned Sunderland.
Other teams have progressed, right? Let's not even name those teams.
So have we. So have we.
Have not. We are stuck in League One.
Right.
Looking like we're not going to go anywhere.
Owners do not play.
Jared.
Owners do not play football on the pitch, do they? Yes, they're in charge of everything. My point is, has the football club progressed in the last 10 years? Yes, it has. It's as simple
as
that.
In some respects, yes, but not on the pitch as a team, we haven't.
Feisty.
You were there against Barnsley. You would have said we've not.
I watched the whole game. I watched the whole game in my Toronto office. and we were dog shit. I fully agree. The last four or five games, we've been wank. In fact, all season, we've been shit. Even when we won, we've been shit. I'm not saying that, but to say...
We're not great.
You say yourself, as soon as we come up against anyone half decent, we shit the bed and lose. We are shit. We've got a very, very good team. No, listen, we've got a very good team. And I'll Grant McCann, again, massive fan of Grant McCann, like him, but he's not doing good enough. It's as simple as that. The squad we've got should be certainly top two, top four for me all day long.
Are we going to talk about Grant McCann? Because he's the, I would argue, the main problem at the moment.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think, honestly,
when you've got a Jack Marriott sitting on the bloody bench, I'm sorry. He's overthinking it. He thinks we're in the championship. For fuck's sake, we're not. We don't need to play like a championship side. In fact, if we do play like a championship side, like he's insisting we do, we're not playing to our best ability. We're not playing to our strengths. And we need to play a much simpler type of football conducive to success in League One, i.e. 4-4-2, so we can get fucking two good strikers on the pitch. We might score more than one bloody goal a game then, mightn't we? And that's the reality. He's thinking we're something we're not.
I agree. I think he is overcomplicating it massively. I agree completely with that comment, to be honest. I still can't get over you compared to Sunderland, but anyway, move on.
Are you McCann out?
Forget about that.
Hold on, Kisby. Are you McCann out at this point then, Jared? I know Kisby, as you can tell that from there without needing to ask him, but where do you stand on Grant just now?
I wouldn't say I'm McCann out. I think, I'll be honest, I think the whole regime needs to be looked at. I just think
do you think there's anything to tell? Sorry, interject, but do you think there's anything to read into the fact that Everton and Davies have gone around the McCann issue? Do you think there's anything in that?
No, not at all. I think they've been offered a Football League job is it Football League? Yeah, League Two, isn't it? Yeah, I think they've been offered a Football League job and they've took it. I think people are reading too much into that, and good luck to them. I think they'll do really well as a duo, but no, I don't think there's anything in that. I just feel like everyone's a bit bereft of ideas, if you like. I think everything needs a bit of a freshen up.
So is that an on-the-fence way of saying that you're neither McCann in nor out just now? Put your balls on the line for a second. I can't see
what difference it would make, to be honest with you, Tim, because we'd only go and recruit someone from within.
Someone from where?
Someone from within.
Oh, right. Sorry, got you. Or maybe Everton or Davis now.
Who probably not now, no.
Would have been the ideal successes.
Yeah, no, it's not about McCann for me. Like I say, I think the whole regime needs shaking up. So make that of what you will.
So Kisby, you're, I'm guessing, Grant out based on that. Taking Jared's point then, who you always said to me last year, well, who do you bring in? Madness! Who do you bring in?
Bring the Sunderland manager. They've got no fans and they'll win the league.
Do you know what? Although I am a McCann out, you make a valid point. Who do we bring in? And I know, and I say this all the time when we change managers, we're not going to get a great manager in. That's the trouble. For me, he is an issue. He's not playing the way he should play. But if we got rid of him, would we get a better manager? No, because we're posh. So we'd get a shit manager. That is why when you were saying a couple of seasons ago about getting rid of the owners and the rest of it, I was, whoa, hold on a minute, because I know what'll happen. You know, I'm like you, Jared. I think there needs to be change and there needs to be a wholesale change in this if we want to progress. Now, here's the thing. Just because you do have wholesale change doesn't mean things will improve. Things can still stay the same or get worse. And I think the likelihood is they probably get worse, to be honest with you. Even though clowns like me come in here and criticise everyone left, right and centre, I do think that we have reached a stage now where we've got to take the chance of having wholesale changes if we want to progress. And the reality is it probably won't improve things, but we're just seeing the same old time and time, aren't we? Season after season. And that's, for me, a little bit of my interest is waning. You know, I would like to see changes and I'd like to see someone else take up the mantle of trying to develop us into a championship team, which nobody has done yet. It's no disgrace for the owners to say, well, we tried to do it and we couldn't, because at least they tried, sort of thing. And they came close at times, I think, but they've clearly not cracked it. I wasn't comparing us with Sunderland. All I was saying is that other teams have managed to do it and we haven't. That was my point. No, I wasn't saying we're as good as Sunderland, so therefore we should be doing it.
No, what you should have done is maybe mention Rotherham, you know, that they've managed to stay up, come down. Sunderland's just a load of nonsense, because you know that.
Yeah, but I wasn't comparing this to Sunderland, as I keep saying, Jared. I was just
teams like Sunderland.
I was using an example to say that it is possible. It is possible for us to get into.
So I would like to say, Tim, teams like Real Madrid.
My point.
Teams like Real Madrid have won the Champions League. Why aren't we doing that? It's ridiculous.
In some bottom leagues for many, 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 many seasons. You know, that's a bit of that is a stupid thing, because you are comparing us with that. I'm just saying. The point I was making, and I thought I made it quite succinctly, but clearly not, Jared, so I'll dumb it down for you a little bit. The point is, we've not been successful. That was my point, right?
And if you said that, that's fair enough.
Was
teams like Sunderland have managed it, though. That's what you said.
Right, so we haven't been successful by that goal sort
Just
of thing.
Just take it back and I'll leave you alone. Take it back.
Oh, fuck off. I'm not taking. I've already had to eat humble pie.
He's like a rattled politician. I love it.
Yeah, I felt like we had Boris Johnson. Take it back, old boy. Take it back, Kisby. Take it back.
You've got Kisby on the roads there as well.
Ah.
You did say that, Kisby.
I do think that I agree with you, Jared. I think it's time for change, because, like I say, I can see how this season's going to pan out. We'll either scrape into the playoffs and then go out in the playoffs, or not get into the playoffs. When I say
change is needed, it's not necessarily for the club's benefit. Like I say, I love the owners. I think, you know, and we're safe in their hands, which is a lot of clubs aren't. My point is, I think that's what they want as well. I think if they got a good enough offer, it would be, you know, they'd be sailing off as well. Maybe I'm wrong to say that. I don't know. But that's why I just think it's a two-way thing now. And I don't want it to get to the point where Jason can't put a picture up of his dog without getting abused. People calling his dog a twat or whatever. Although it does look like Matt Kisby.
Whoa. Fluffy has become a posh legend. I think Fluffy should be our new mascot. Do not compare Fluffy to Matthew Kisby. That is incredibly offensive to Labradoodles everywhere.
Sorry. Apologies. Don't get Wayne out of a job, though. He does Peterborough quite well.
Up the Fluffy, I say. I think Fluffy should be our new manager.
Up the Fluffy? Jesus.
That'll be the promo for the episode.
Danny, if producer Danny, if this episode's not called Up the Fluffy, I'm leaving.
But I think, going back to selling the club, I think that sort of proves my point, because if they had the club's best interest at heart, if someone came in with a bid that perhaps wasn't as much as they wanted, but they knew that that person could progress the club, they should accept it. But I don't think they will, because you can't say don't disagree.
Oh,
with that.
No, Kisby, what a load of bollocks. You just told yourself at the start of the podcast, and just please let me speak. You said at the start of the podcast, fundamentally, they are businessmen. If they get if they get an offer that is not enough, they should accept it because they love the club. Fuck off.
That's what you're saying. You're saying that because you're saying they love the club. They're not businessmen.
It's like an episode of Question Time.
Fucking hell, Jared. You had a stroke since we last came on this podcast.
You literally said if they love and they care for the club, they should accept an offer even if it isn't what they want.
Yes, and that is your argument, that they
nonsense.
Care more about the club.
Madness.
I never said they should do that.
They care more about the money, therefore they're not going to accept a silly loan.
Rightly so. I hope they don't. Good on them.
Kisby. They're not.
I'm going to offer you £37.50, which is a good offer, by the way, for all your radio equipment. Are you going to accept it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jared can help the radio station grow.
I don't own it, so
up the Fluffy. So, where were we? Should we talk about what has happened since we last played? Other than the fact that the ownership is in turmoil, we have actually played three times, once in the league against Barnsley. You guys already touched on how dire this was. Shrewsbury/Shrewsbury in the FA Cup. We are out of that. And we also lost to the Chelsea under-12s in the Colgate Cup. I mean, there's a lot to dissect here. None of it is particularly positive. Some comments that we had in after the Barnsley game. PUFCOK says, genuinely never seen so many games where we've slung four or five subs on and not one fucker made a difference. Marriott and Ricky barely touched the ball in 20 minutes. Plastic Posh, love the name, says, but the manager retracted his previous statement about being scared of making a sub and stated he was happy with the squad and then did that kind of quizzical thinking look emoji. Irish Posh, your mum's been on Kisby, says, I suspect the manager lost some of the dressing room with his original comments and some more of them when he tried to retract it. Made him look weak and now they have someone to blame. It happened many times before. What a mess. A front four that's good for the last 20 minutes. Sorry, I can't read or write because I am literally slowly dying. Matt also says, I was watching on Posh Plus tonight. And as much as I love Ricky J. Jones, I don't think I heard the commentator say his name once after he came on. Lots of players coming in for some negative comments, and probably rightly so. The Shrewsbury game wasn't much more entertaining. In fact, it was probably just as poor. And then the Chelsea game was also poor. We were made to look mediocre by a very, very young Chelsea side. And whilst I accept that they are, you know, some of the best youngsters in the world, they certainly made our club look rather amateur. Now, there are rumours, Jared, that McCann locked the players in the dressing room. Sounds like he's maybe given them a bit of a dressing down. So, with some of the comments there, is it the players to blame? Is it McCann? Who's at fault for this mess that we find ourselves in?
On the pitch, I think it's Grant McCann, isn't it? Obviously, the players are the ones who are given the instructions to go out there and do it, and they've not been good enough. Some of our, you know, our highest paid, more experienced players have been poor. So, you know, you can only do so much. But for me, and again, I hate speaking like this, because if someone was telling me how to do my job and they've got no experience in it, I'd be infuriated. So I'm going to do that, though, just so you know.
You're kind of defunct as a podcast guest if you stop.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but it's still annoying. I don't like when people act like they're football managers. It's doing my head in at the minute with England. So, but yes, I shall do that. I think his system's all wrong. I know I've harped on about it, but again, the Jack Marriott thing. We had a couple of games earlier on in the season where we played Jack Marriott and Clark Harris, and they looked formidable. They complement each other massively. I know that leaves the midfield a little bit short, but like Kisby said earlier, it's not the Championship. You can play 4-4-2, you can play two up front. You don't have to worry as much, and that is just a fact. The Championship, I get it. You struggle to play two up front, but it's League One. I feel like we worry too much about the opposition, and you know we're not letting them worry about us enough. Because if I was a League One defender, and you look at our strikers and wingers, I wouldn't fancy it. Because I'm 6'9" and 33 stone, but you know what I mean.
Has he lost the dressing room, Kisby, do you think?
Do you know what? I do agree with what Jared was saying there. I think he's overcomplicating the matters. When we're playing games, right, I think we look a good team, right? We pass it around nicely, we control the ball nicely, but the end product isn't there. Sometimes it doesn't matter how you play a game of football. You just look at the end product. Are we getting the end product? No, we're not getting the end product, are we? We're getting the end product against shit teams that we just have to turn up to beat. If anyone half decent, we're massively struggling. One thing I will say, right, about our team is in great Posh teams of the past, we've always had two or three really outstanding players. And I don't think at the moment we've got two or three really outstanding players, and that is not helping the case, that is certain. And by that I mean players who can turn a game, like Grant McCann himself in his day when he was playing could score a fantastic goal, right, that would turn a game. And I think we're lacking those type of players who can really turn a game at the moment, which doesn't help Grant McCann at all. But he's not helped himself this season by the sometimes bizarre decisions he makes, the substitutions he's making, that sort of thing. The tactics he's playing, he's not helping his case. I don't think it would make a massive amount of difference if he was doing it, but it would make some difference, I feel, and would make us a slightly better team. But I still think we lack that real one or two outstandingly good players that we perhaps had in the past in our great teams. And we've got a solid team, and I've always said that. But you start taking away I still think Jack Marriott is one of our best players, and when he's not playing, you just think, how is that strengthening the team, leaving him out all the time, especially with a striker? You know that if you're not playing game after game after game, you lose that little bit of confidence. You can't just suddenly put him into the team and expect him to be playing at 100%. That's not how strikers work, and probably not any player in a team. But he's not helping his case, I don't think. And I've not been a fan of his. As much as a fan I am of him as a player, I don't think he's really the right manager for Peterborough United. And I think perhaps the success he's had in the past is perhaps due to the teams he had rather than him as a manager, I would argue.
Out of the cups, do we care? Focus on the league now, right?
Yeah, FA Cup is a shame, I called it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I knew that was going to happen. I just knew that was coming. Jared, out of the cups, do we care?
Papa John's, absolutely not. FA Cup, yeah, slightly. But no, onto the league.
Kisby?
No, not really. I think it's good that we're out of both. We can concentrate on the league, in inverted commas.
It's a shame that we couldn't get past Shrewsbury, really. That would have been, you know, you never know who you get in the next round then, do you? So it would be fun.
I was probably having a stroke when I said that word.
But possibly. We should.
Both hands above the desk, please. Both hands above the desk.
So we've just got league action to focus on first then. This coming Saturday is away at Ipswich, which is normally a good away game, but I don't hold out much hope it will be this time round. Following week, Shrewsbury again. That is a home game. So two games coming up in the league over the next 2 weeks. Feels a bit weird at the minute with everything that's going on with England as well. It's kind of hard to muster an interest. I wonder if that might feel different if we were top of the table. I don't really know. Ipswich away, tough game. Shrewsbury at home on paper, you have to say, is winnable. But who knows at the minute. How many points are you happy with? What's a bare minimum, Kisby, from them two?
I think we'll get one win and one loss out of those two games.
Yeah, I think Isby's probably correct on that. Can't see he's getting anything out of Ipswich, but what would be good would be 4 points, Tim.
What did you say, Kisby? Yeah, great. I'll pretend that I listened to what you both said. Yeah, no, I agree. I think 6 points is right. Yeah, well done, whoever said that. I completely agree. Now, what did you say, Kisby? You said you think we'll get one, and Jared, you agreed. Was that right?
Yeah, I believe we'll just get... No, Kisby said he thinks we will lose one and win one, which I agree with. However, to answer your question, what would be good is 4 points.
Okay, so any less than 4 points, Jared Grant out then? With January's coming up. Don't forget that. We've got that transfer window coming up. By then, that will take us up until Christmas. You know, we don't play again after that until Charlton on Boxing Day. So
won't that leave us in a weaker position, the transfer market this season? Because who's going out on when they're coming to the end of their contract?
So, based on our policy, we would lose Joe Ward and Nathan Thompson off. Yeah. I want to say. But what I mean is
strengthen us.
No, but what I mean is, Jared, if you're going to bring in a new manager, you've got to do it before a transfer window. If you're going to stick with Grant, then you've got to give him the transfer window. You can't change someone in January. So I guess what I'm saying is, any less than four, where are you then? And I know it's pessimistic, but you've got to think about these things, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think I'd say if we didn't win either, you've got to seriously be looking at things. We can't let this season just drift off. And that's what's happening at the minute. It's just floating away. So no, we need to arrest it. And if that is by making a change, then so be it. But yeah, I would say we need to win at least one of them. Ipswich is a tough game. It's a very tough game. If we lost that, I wouldn't be shocked. But we certainly need to be beating Shrewsbury at home.
Yeah, I think we only pick up 1 point from these two games. But I'm still very much McCann in. And I wouldn't want him to go. I don't want to give off that impression that... Currently, incredibly, somehow, we are still in the playoffs. We are currently sixth. All of the teams around us, including those below, have played less games, though. So that will no doubt correct itself. If you have to go, so we're sixth. You have to go all the way down to Accrington Stanley in 19th to find a team who has lost either the same amount or more games than us. And in terms of goals conceded, you're going down to like mid-table, your likes of Port Vale and Exeter. You know, it's a false table. There's no doubt about that. But you know, looking at that, looking at those stats, you'd have to say we're mid table. We're certainly playing
off. Can I ask a question?
The bottom has lost the same amount of games as us.
Honestly, yeah. What a load of nonsense! Sorry, Tim, but you're again talking bollocks.
Okay, why?
How can a table which is formulated, if you win, you get 3 points. If you draw, you get 1 point. And if you lose, you get 0 points. How can that be a false table when we've played the amount of games as the others? How is that false?
No, we haven't. No, that's what I'm saying. The team...
Okay, no. So, see, okay, two games in the
same game.
No,
let him
try and
use his fingers.
No, you were implying because we've conceded a lot of goals that it's a false table. Not because, say if the team below us has got four games in hand, I get that, because they will go above us. But that's not what you was implying. You was implying because we've conceded a lot of goals and the same as teams like Exeter, that it's a false table. It's not. We've got more points.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, so how is it a false table then?
Because when they play their games in hand.
It's a false table because I was saying it was a false table when we were winning because of the intrinsic. It's the intrinsic weakness. So when the end of the season comes, we were still fourth when I was saying this, right? And I was saying it's a false table because we won't finish fourth at the end of the season, and we won't finish where we are at the moment by the end of the season.
It's not a false table at that time, is it?
Statistically speaking, it's not, no, but in reality, it actually is because we won't be finishing there because of the reasons we've just said, because we've played one or two more games than other people. There's loads of teams now, loads of teams that are virtually on the same points as us. Let's see, what are we on points? We're on 31. Derby have got 30, game in hand. Portsmouth, who have had horrendous last few games, 29 points. 29 points, Port Vale, Wickham, 28. You know, they're all within striking distance, aren't they? So I think, in fairness, there will be some weakness to our position by the end of the season. So from that point of view, it is slightly a false table, even though statistically speaking, of course, it's not quantifiably. It's not, obviously.
We need to somehow agree on a player of the month, for November. So Ivan Tony Award for November. Jared, who are you nominating?
At the moment.
How long have you had that tenner for, though? Because that you're waving at the camera. I bet you've had that years.
That's a 10-shilling note.
It's an old one, yeah.
Still got the Queen's face on it.
Can't buy fish and chips for that.
Queen Victoria on that one.
Anyway, Jared, what was the question? And can I have an answer?
Player of the month. Probably the fella who got it in the skip at half-time.
So you're vetoing your vote. You're not taking your role.
I would say.
Seriously. Good. Good.
Fuchs.
I think I'd have to say nobody because we've just been just
can't say bleh. Nobody. Come on, you've got the responsibility here. This is part of your contract.
So many people would love to be in your position, Kisby.
Yeah, you can't just block them and then not give a bloody player of the month. Come on, the Ivan Tony Award is a prestigious award.
It is very difficult, though, I must be honest.
No one stood out. No one has stood out. How? No one has stood out. So how can I say?
Good. Good for the listeners. This silence. Your radio
I'm
is still.
Saying a name.
I go to every game. I see them all.
You can do this. Believe in you.
If Jared says Fuchs, I'll go with Fuchs then.
But what's his first pick?
It's a pointless question because no one stood out. So what can I? Normally Fuchs I'd say Bergstrom, but he fucking cost his points.
Only because he stands near you, so you're the only he's the only fucking shirt you can read from where you stand in the terrace. So,
I genuinely think no one has stood out this month at all for me.
Jando Fuchs, congratulations. You are the Ivan Tony recipient for November. Whose phone is that that keeps
sorry,
going
on? Sorry.
So you've got a ringtone out of the 90s as well.
Sorry, now I've... Yeah,
honestly, the pair of you—you're not taking your responsibility seriously.
Listen, I've won 3 awards on this podcast.
Yeah, well, only because of the Twitter bots, which you can no longer do thanks to Elon Musk. But anyway, Jando Fuchs, congratulations! I was going to vote Lloyd Jones. That Cambridge game seems a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Hang on, you just literally gave me and Kisby dog's abuse for not picking a player. You've picked a Cambridge United player.
Yeah.
God.
My story about my trip to the ground didn't go down very well, did it? I've got other ones if you want to hear them.
No, please no. It's already a Kisby heavy episode.
I drove to the ground and there was fans.
I'll tell you one.
I got out of the car.
No. No.
I'm going to tell you.
Right, I've muted him. So Lee Tomlin has joined Ilkeston Town as player coach, scored on his debut. Jared, how do you think Tomlin's going to get on at Ilkeston?
As a manager, as a coach?
As a player coach, yeah.
Oh my God, absolute disaster. Disastrous. How can a man with his mindset coach anyone when he cannot control himself?
That's a valid point.
It's ridiculous. It's like me being a dietitian.
Valid point. Kisby, how's Tomlin going to get on in whatever tier they're in?
Very poorly, because he's a very arrogant person by all accounts. So, he's not going to go down too well, is he, with other players who've got ego? So he's going to be a bit of a car crash. So I fully expect him to be at the posh next season as our manager.
Lee Tomlin as manager taking on Grant McCann. Would you have him?
Do you know what? He actually, although he wouldn't be a good manager, to be fair, I think he would actually, because he's had good times with us, he probably, would be as good as
anyone. The bloke's
a
prick.
A car crash. Yeah, absolutely. I do agree.
That's us done for Posh News then. We are going to move on to the World Cup, which has, let's be honest, been dominating everybody's football hemisphere over the last couple of weeks. Since we last recorded, England have played 4 times, won 3 times and drew once. We are, at the time of recording, due to play France in the quarterfinals. We're recording this on Monday evening. Currently, Brazil are thrashing South Korea 4-1. There's about 5 minutes left in that game. Before we talk about England, just an update on the sweepstake. Now, I got Brazil, and as I've just mentioned, they are turning up the flare against the Koreans. Jared, you got Croatia, who just squeezed through against the Japanese in a penalty shootout earlier. Those penalties from the Japanese, I don't know if you've seen them, but they were woeful. Kisby, you incredibly somehow pulled England out of the sweepstake, and I have to say, are probably looking favourites just now. Danny got Poland. They are out. Dan got France, who dumped the Polish out, if memory serves me correct. They are still in, but of course, they go against you, Kisby, on Saturday. So it's Kisby versus Dan, the two arch nemesises of the yellow block. Sam got Wales, who were unceremoniously dumped home early. And Nathan got Serbia. Who was Serbia even in? I can't actually remember what Serbia is. How Serbia got on other than the fact that they've gone home. So the vast majority of us are still in with a shout. Let's talk England though first. Jared, happy with what you've seen so far?
No, I'm really impressed with England so far. I didn't have the mass over exaggeration when we had a bit of a dull game against the US. I think squad-wise, I look at the other squads and everyone's raving about Brazil, and yes, they're a really good team. But on paper, I know I sound like a posh fan now, we look excellent. And, you know, we're playing good football as well. So I'm actually going into Saturday relatively confident. It's just that man Mbappe scares the living hell out of me. But we've got Kyle Walker, who is just as quick. So we've got a chance.
Yeah, and I know when you and I spoke to Dan, it was very much Mbappe FC. And I do think there's some legs in that. It is very much a case of what else have the French got outside of him? They're in a good team, of course. They always are. They're world champions. But have they got enough to be able to challenge the English, do you think, outside of him?
This year, no. I don't think they have. Their midfield, I think we can get good results against them. But listen, having a player like Mbappe, that's all you need at times. He is that good. He's an absolute joke. So if we can... No, we're not going to keep him quiet. It's impossible. I'll go as far as saying that you're not going to cancel him out of the game. If we can limit him to maybe one or two goals, I feel like we can score three or four against these. I really do. Providing we start the right team. And I trust Southgate completely with it. I really do.
Kisby, your thoughts on the English so far?
I don't think we've come up against a very good side yet. To be fair to England, we've done what we've needed to do. We've done it quite professionally, really. It wasn't great against America, to be fair, but otherwise we've done it quite professionally up to this point, which is great. You know, England often is fine up to this point. It's from this point on that England have an issue. And I'm no expert on the international game. I'm not an expert like I'm on the posh. So you two know much. Don't smile. Because you two know much more about the international game than me. So, but I think, like you say, France do have some outstandingly good players and a pretty solid team. So they're going to be our first challenge. And we'll see, won't we? You know, we've got two chances. We'll either beat them or we won't, sort of thing. And I do think England are a bit like the posh of the international world, though, i.e. the easy sides will always be, always. And the tougher sides we will occasionally beat. So we'll see what it is. The weekend, it's a good day to watch, isn't it? Saturday night, there'll be the pubs will be full.
Yeah, for you.
For drunken English fans, hopefully happy ones at the end of it. But we'll see. I do think we've got to be on our A game, though. We can't have one of these where we're not firing on all cylinders. And I also think it helps when England score first. If you score first, I think there's a lot of confidence in that team. If we go behind against a good side, it might be more difficult. So we'll see.
Yeah, so we've got two options. We're either going to win or we're not. Follow Kisby for more betting advice. That's sound advice, Kisby.
To be fair, I won't be wrong, though, will I?
No, you're not. Talking of betting advice, I am stormwalling this, I was going to say FA Cup then, this World Cup. The game against Wales, I had England to win, both teams to score no, and Rashford to score a brace. That made me a tidy little sum. I was very happy with that.
Hang on, people say that. How much did it make you?
I don't know, actually. I need to look at my profit and loss for the World Cup. Hold on, I'll load it up. While I do that, tell me about your thoughts on the World Cup so far, Jared, in terms of not just England, but we were a little bit, we weren't really feeling it, were we, when we recorded last?
Yeah, I think it's been brilliant. Don't get me wrong, we'd all prefer it in the summer. But with all the stuff that went on beforehand, which a lot of it I don't think needed to be mentioned at a football tournament, but I think it's been great. There's been some fantastic games. Early doors was a couple of nil-nils. But no, as the tournament's opening up, I think it's been excellent. We've had some great goals. VAR, yeah, hit and miss, but we always knew that was going to happen. It's been really entertaining. I've watched as many games as I could, and I've loved it. In fact, I was, as I say, I've been watching all the games, especially at work. Obviously, I've got no one nagging me there. But at home in the evening, I like to put the game on. And my wife said to me, why are you watching these? Like, it was Portugal v whoever. I was like, well, she goes, you're not Portuguese. I was like, no, I'm fully aware of that, but it's football. It's the World Cup. I said, most people who enjoy football will be watching this game. And she said, absolute nonsense. People just watch their countries. So I'll put it to a, exactly. I'll put it to a Twitter poll and 92% agreed with me and 8%, well, were vegans and didn't. So yeah, I was delighted with that result and I enjoyed showing her.
That's the beauty of the World Cup, isn't it? Is that you it's Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. and you're watching, you know, Serbia against Iraq or whatever. That's just what the World Cup is all about. I'm like you, I've watched as many games as possible and I've been pleasantly surprised about how into it I've got, because like you, I wasn't really feeling it, but it's completely taken my attention. And I don't think that's just because England are doing well either. I've genuinely enjoyed watching everybody play. What I would say, Jared, and I'm keen to know if you agree with me on this, is having watched all of these teams play, the teams that have started to find a bit of traction in the knockouts, it's generally one player that's turned up. And, you know, we sort of Mbappe. If I'm a fan of any other country that isn't an England fan, so if I'm, you know, any other nationality, I'm watching the England team thinking that's the best team in this tournament right now, I believe.
100% couldn't agree more. And it's only because I'm English and we know what it's like being an England fan, why you have that, you know, that kind of grey cloud over. But no, if I am Portuguese, like my missus thought I was, 100% I'd be saying England are going to win this all day long. Because like you say, you look at each team, Portugal, Ronaldo, Brazil, Neymar, France and Mbappe, Argentina, Messi. England, it's not Kane, is it? He scored one goal. You've got players from all over the midfield. Bellingham is an absolute force. He's unbelievable. Saka, Rashford, Harry Kane, Mason Mount, people like this. Unbelievable. And yeah, I think we've got a fantastic chance. And if we can get through, because I think we are one of the best teams. I think France, purely because of Mbappe, are a serious threat. I think they're our biggest threat. If we can dispatch them on Saturday night, I am seriously confident then of us going all the way, because people are raving around Argentina, and I know that Danny's going to pull me up that I said Argentina would win it, but I've watched all of their games, and honestly, I'm not feeling the love that everyone else is saying. They look very, very average.
Yeah, I agree. It's like France with Mbappe. If you quell the Messi threat, there's not a lot to them. The Brazil game's just finished. They beat South Korea 4-1, so they are through. So some big teams left now then. You'd have to look at the last eight. There's no real, you know, weak teams left now. I wouldn't say there's no kind of free hits left. It's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see how this plays out now.
Yeah, I mean, before I'd always look at the draw and be like, so annoyed that we got France in the quarters. Well, why don't we get them in the semis? But you've got to play them all to win, haven't you? There's no point in getting an easy draw now. If we can't beat France now, we're not going to beat them in the final, are we? So, no, I'm glad we got this. It's a good test. And I think if we do get past them, it will give the players all the confidence in the world, because France are getting a lot of plaudits, aren't they? So, yeah. Yeah, it would do us a world of good, and I can see us doing it.
I think so. And although the squad got a lot of criticism for the America game, I actually think they managed the game really well, which was the intention. I don't think they went out there to score 4 or 5. We saw it at the start of the game against Senegal. It was all about managing that game, and that is what a Southgate team seems to do really well. I still think there's questions around their mentality when they're under pressure. I think if it's 0-0 in the 89th minute and the French have got a corner or something like that, or they start to turn the screw, I've got concerns around their mentality, particularly at the back. But no team is perfect. And I certainly think if I'm a French manager lining up against the English squad at the moment, I'm looking, thinking, how do I manage this? For the English, it's pretty easy. You just mark Mbappe. But the other way around, because like you said, with the squad depth, it's proven a challenge. Has anyone surprised you in this England squad?
I'll be honest, Bellingham. I know that sounds ridiculous because he's come in with an amazing reputation, but I didn't realise how good he actually is. He's surprised me in the sense where, you know, he is a lot better than what I thought he was. I knew he was an amazing player, but yeah, he looks incredible. But just going back to the France game, obviously Mbappe is torn teams to bits this World Cup. But I just think with Kyle Walker in the team, and I know it's not all about pace, but in the last game, Mbappe, when he scored two, who was it against just recently? Poland,
yes.
Yeah, he was just skinning Matty Cash constantly down the right. And that was due to pace. He couldn't keep up with him. Obviously, he turns so quick as well, so that'll be a problem. But I think pace-wise, he's not going to burn past Kyle Walker. I'm going to look a fool if he does now, but I'm pretty sure Kyle Walker's got the pace to keep up with him.
Yeah. What's your prediction, Kisby, for the France-England game?
I think we'll lose. I think we'll lose.
We're coming home rather than it's coming.
Hold on a minute. You ask me for my opinion, I give it, and then you criticise me for it. Well, I'll sit quietly. I just think our defence might struggle. If France have got a lot of pace in their team, I think our defence might be shown up a little bit. And like I say, if we go behind, I think it's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? We've not been behind yet in a game in the World Cup. And I think you show your character then, don't you? If they are a truly great team, they can come from behind against a good side. If they're not such a great team, I think I'm just sullied with many, many years of disappointment.
Yeah,
with
England. Yeah, I don't want
to. I don't want to get. I mean, I've had it more than you lot, and I don't want to get too excited about it because I know how it will go if I do. I haven't been really into the World Cup like I have other World Cups. I haven't watched really any of it apart from the England games, and in fact, I missed one of the England games because I had to do a little bit of work that time.
Do you have a TV license, Kisby? I imagine that's the sort of thing you would skip.
For purposes of this podcast, yes. Just in case Her Majesty's...
Her Majesty? You mean His Majesty?
Yeah, I just don't want to get too excited because I know what it'll be like, you know. And I don't think we've come up against any decent side yet. I don't think America, USA were that great. And I don't think we played great against them. You might say, well, we went out to manage the game and all the rest of it, but you always go out to win every game. And I think, yeah, we'll see. But let's put it this way. I hope that we win, obviously. But I have a sneaking suspicion we might get beaten by just the odd goal. So I think it might. I think it'll be a good game, though. I think it will be quite open. And I think there will be goals in it, I have to say.
I think the scoreline will be 3-2. Now, I've been toying with who to. But for the purpose of this podcast and to breed positivity, I'm going to say England 3, France 2.
Interesting. It's a tough one.
Penalties? Will it go to penalties, though? Because if it does...
Well, not if it finishes 3-2.
Well, no, I know that, you fool.
People are saying this, but... Let's go back to the last World Cup. We did all right, didn't we?
I don't fear penalties. I don't fear anyone in this tournament anymore. I look at France and think, yeah, bring it on. I'm excited about that. And I get where you're coming from, Kisby, because we've had years of disappointment, and this is the kind of game normally where you go, well, that's us out. But I don't fear anyone, and I don't fear penalties. Like Jared, you're saying there, it doesn't... I honestly think we'd match them. We certainly would be better than the Japanese were, that's for sure, at penalties.
When people mention France, you think, oh, you just automatically dread them. But if you look at the squad and look at their weaknesses as well, you know, we look at ours and, yeah, I think Harry Kane gets a rough ride, but, you know, sometimes when he plays like he's wearing a pair of jeans, and John Stones, I think he helps him. And the back line, yeah, maybe pace could be an issue there. But for the French, it's also the same. Maybe not so much with pace, but they're vulnerable. They've got the weaknesses just like we have.
I think they've got to go for it. We've got to not just sit back and try and manage the game. All these bollocks, just go for it. Try and beat them.
This is the only worry I have, Kisby. It's a really good point. And I believe, like me and Tim have said, with the firepower we've got the squad to do that. Just to go out there, not worry about
them.
I agree.
Southgate doesn't play like that, does he? That's the trouble. And I think sometimes you just got to throw caution to the wind and go for it and try and win the game. And I think the game is there to be won, isn't it? But I just think there will be all this caution.
Stay in the game for 60 minutes and then manage it from there.
Yeah,
but
that's a way.
It's working. Southgate I'm not doubting him. He hasn't won anything, but he's taken us further in the Euros and the World Cup than we've been since like the 60s.
I'll tell you something about football, Tim, young Tim. You can't always play the same way and get the same result. Sometimes you've got to play in a slightly different way to get a result. And I think this might be one of the cases where perhaps we should play in a different way, because France will expect us to play like that. And if we come out all guns blazing and score two goals in the first 2 minutes, the game will probably be won, sort of thing. So
yeah, although I would just cast your mind back a couple of years to the Euro finals where we came out all guns blazing, scored early on. That's it.
It's always going to work, isn't it? If you knew how to win a game before the game was played, you would know how to play that game, wouldn't you? So you've got to take a risk. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the only thing I do hate about, I hate the coming home thing now. I really enjoyed it at the start, like 10 years ago. Now I detest it. And the fanfare things, I couldn't, honestly, it's my idea of hell. Because when they first started these fan parks and you get the beer and that going up, but now, like, they're throwing the fucking jugs of beer up when we scored five against Iran. It's just a bit, I think it's a bit showy now, isn't it? I couldn't think of anything worse.
People go into them, don't they, wearing those macks like they're going on the log flume at Alton Towers. They know what's coming. It's not really spontaneous if you you know what's coming. Especially when VAR comes in and disallows the goal and you've just thrown a pitcher of beer over someone's head. But
yeah, other than that, I've been absolutely loving it. Come on, England.
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming home. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and please leave us a review and rate the podcast on Apple and Spotify. It helps us climb the podcast charts. Do be sure to follow us as well on Twitter and follow us on Facebook. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join us in a fortnight. Up the posh and come on, England.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.